Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Guys, I'm welcoming you out for a show that's for you and about you. Those of you who work so hard for your money and you're ready for your money, start working harder for you now. You want that freedom. You want that cash flow. You want that prosperity today, right? Not 30 or 40 years from now, but right now. So you can be able to have that life that you love, doing what you love with those that you love. But on top of that, it's about creating a ripple effect through people's lives. Because as that rippler, you're here to do much more than just sit on your butts and do nothing and just make money. You're here to make a difference in the world and bless people's lives so you leave the world better than when you came in. And guys, I'm proud to be a part of that with you. Thank you for allowing my ripple effect to continue through you guys. Thank you for allowing me to be able to teach and be able to share and everything else. Here's a quick reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. There's not only great podcasts and blogs on there, but you can also check out the Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today you can download for free. So check that out. Hey, are you looking for another great podcast to listen to? One about investing and not only just investing, but learning about cool deals like investing in apartments that does not require you to have to be an accredited investor or have $1 million. Hey, if you want to check that out, go check out my friend Lane Kawaoka's site, simplepassivecashflow.com. He's got a great podcast also called Simple Passive Cashflow that you can check out on YouTube, iTunes, or whatever your favorite podcast app is. If you want some great education and to learn about great ways to invest in other types of deals without, again, needing a ton of money, check it out, simplepassivecashflow.com, or look up Simple Passive Cashflow on YouTube or your podcast app. Check it out. So today, guys, I've got a special guest here. I've got a returning guest, actually, Mitch Steven, who I've had on 2 years ago. But maybe some of you guys didn't get to that interview. So I want to kind of reintroduce him and bring him on because it was so much fun having him on last time that we just had to do it again. I remember being on his show. We laughed. So I think we laughed half the show, Mitch. It was awesome. I loved it. So it's one of my most memorable interviews I ever had. So Mitch, so you guys know about him, he's a self-employed real estate investor for over 25 years. His real estate career started when he was 23 years old, when he read Nothing Down by Robert Allen. You guys remember good old Bob, right? He purchased well over, get this guys, over 2,000 houses in and around the San Antonio, Texas area. He's also produced lots of books. We got 1,000 houses and books that we even talked about last time as well. And we'll even talk about here a little bit too. But guys, this guy is the master of it. This guy is seasoned. He's true and true. He is the real deal. So Mitch, welcome back to our show.
Wow, I'm going to have to like frame this recording or something. That's pretty good.
Well, hey, it's all yours. You can have it.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here, Chris. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Well, tell us a little bit about that journey. Like, what happened? Like, what got you down the path of real estate in the first place?
Well, I mean, it started. I lost a relationship that was important to me to a man who had a lot of money and. And I couldn't even blame her, like I would have went with that guy too, shit, that guy had a lot of money.
If they ever broke up, you're like, I'm next in line, right?
Yeah. So, but I couldn't even blame her. I looked in the mirror and blamed myself. And I just said, this is never going to happen to me again. It starts right now. And when you're at the bottom, it's a great place to reinvent yourself because, usually if there was any entourage, it's all gone. And you're just there by yourself and you just reset a new set of rules for yourself. And I decided to reinvent myself from the ground up. And that meant that I had to be alone for a long time or whatever. So I went basically did the proverbial time in the woods and I started studying, trying to find out where I fit in this world and how financial freedom could be obtained by yours truly. So I tried a lot of different things, but I accidentally did some real estate things and I bought some books, like Robert Allen's Nothing Down, which, that guy had the audacity to suggest that I could get in the real estate game with no money, being broke. Yeah. And if being broke was a way in, man, I could buy the whole town overnight because I was so broke. So, you know, he gave me hope. And, but you know, there's sometimes a kind of a time lag between when you read concepts or read books before you're ready to accept them. So I read Nothing Down, but it was about 7 years before I owned the concept in my heart that I didn't need any money. And it actually happened to me by accident when I bought something and then someone wanted to buy it. And I bought it with a credit cards and the seller financed a deal. I didn't have any money in it. And then I made the money and then, you know, the light bulb goes off and I said, that's what Robert Allen was talking about. And so I didn't really get it until I experienced it almost on accident. And then it clicked. I can buy the whole town. I don't need money. I need negotiating skills and I need to understand how to write a contract that gives me a little time to find partners or money. And I can buy anything. I can buy things way over my head. Because I don't have to buy it with my money. I just have to tie it up. You know, when we're broke, we're professional deal finders and contract writer uppers. That's all we are. And when we have contract writer uppers, is that a word?
It is now.
And then once I possess that contract fully executed and I have time before I have to close, I'm in control of a lot of things. And then I just stand in the middle and go around and offer people a piece of my pie, keeping a piece for myself. And, you know, I start out making half or 40%, depending on the partner or the circumstances. And then with that 40%, I worked my way out of a hole and worked out to where, you know, eventually I really didn't even need partners. I elected the key partners because I really did realize the value of 1 + 1 = 3 or 4 or 10. And so I kept my partners even when I didn't need them because there was a multiplier effect to it and we got along good and we could combine resources and networks and I could grow much faster with these partners that were much more experienced and much further down the road than I was. So I elected to keep partners for a long time, even though I didn't need them. And that's kind of how it started.
Yeah. And it's kind of built from there, right?
Yeah. The hardest concept for people to grasp because they think it's cliche or they think it's bull that you don't need money to be in real estate. And you really don't. In the prime example, if you find a $200,000 house that you can buy for $100,000 and you can get that contract signed by the seller, then you're in possession of a contract that's very valuable. And there's a lot of people out there that can't find houses, but they have money and they want to be part of your deal. And you just carve yourself out a piece. And, you know, half of something is way better than 100% of zero. So, you know, I never looked at what the other person was making. I just looked to see if that satisfied me. And if it satisfies me, I don't care how much anybody else is making. I don't care how much the seller is making. I don't care how much my partner's making. If I'm happy with my piece, then I do the deal.
Right.
And worry about getting all the deal later. You know, when you mature, you'll be able to get all the deal if you want. I actually, like I said, came to the conclusion that I was much better off having these 3 or 5 or 6 great partners and mentors right in my room, you know, right with me, because I was learning so much from them. I was actually getting paid to gain very valuable knowledge. So
part of that was
probably from the Kiyosaki book, you know, work for knowledge. You know what I mean? I was starting to read things and I was starting to be ready to own the things that I was reading. You know, I was coming of age in my mind and my maturity of how this all works. And so I could read something 5 years ago that didn't really stick, but I could revisit it. And then I would say, I get it now. And then that's when I'd like to say, and I'm tapping my heart right now, I like to say that's when you know, reading a concept and owning it in your heart is two different things.
That's right.
And I started to own things in my heart.
That's key, because there's a lot of people that will learn, like even people I know that listen to our podcast, listen to other podcasts too, right? They'll be almost constantly learning, but never applying. And like you said, like just take it a concept, even if you learn just one concept and be able to apply it is way more impactful than just learning a lot of stuff and then doing nothing.
Yeah, you have to have action in the formula. But a lot of people are just paralyzed by fear or whatever. So that's one of the reasons it was good to be with those mentors, because when I was afraid, I would tell them what I'm afraid of. And then they would explain to me, and then I had to decide whether I believed them or not. But most of the time, they're pretty smart and had very logical reasons why we shouldn't worry to the level that I'm worrying. I mean, there's always risk in a deal. There's never, there's no such thing as no risk, you know. There's no guarantees. But they were so calculated, and these people were so sure of themselves, and they would tell me about their experiences and go, look, I've done this before. We're going to be fine. The worst thing can happen is X. Can you live with that? And I go, well, yeah. And usually the worst thing is we're not going to make any money, but we won't lose any money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's key. I mean, I get that a lot too. When people come to me, they're like, well, I've never done these kind of real estate deals before. How do I do it? Like, how do I know it's not risky? I'm like, it's only risky if you have no clue what you're doing, but just trust the process. And as you go through it, you start to realize this will get almost monotonous and boring to some level, you know, and boring's good. Boring is sexy to me, you know?
Well, yeah. So one of the things I realized was that private money or the ability to fund your own deals was the big key. Like, you know, I could have kept these deals and made a lot more money instead of accepting a wholesale fee or a 50%. You know, the partners are the most expensive money in the world. They're taking 50% of your profit. It makes hard money look cheap, you know. But, you know, and I could have went and got hard money, but I was not so naive to believe that I didn't need their expertise, because I knew that I didn't know everything and that would get me in trouble. So I kept electing to get 50% or, you know, or wholesale until till I got comfortable. And then I took some private money courses, and I figured out, you know, that I was capable of getting private money. That's the big thing. It was the mindset. I haven't been a long time in this business. I'm very young. I didn't have this problem, but a lot of the students I talked to, I have bad credit. I don't speak the language very well. I mean, there's all these excuses that you kind of brain screw yourself. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter about who you are, because Charles Manson should have been able to get money for these deals from prison, you know. It was about the deal. Was the deal sound? Was it lucrative? Because if it was, someone wanted half and they would put it up. It didn't matter who I was. What mattered was the deal. And when I figured that out, I just became, you know, a man possessed. And I right now have $26 million of private money out on the streets of my town right this minute. I just cut checks, you know, a few days ago to pay my private lenders. And I was watching the checks spit out of the computer. It was over $225,000 worth of checks that I got to write every month. And it doesn't scare me because of the way I've set up my private lending arrangement. It doesn't scare me at all.
Yeah. So a lot of the people listening right now, they're kind of looking to be quote unquote passive, right? They're looking for ways to get their money working for them. You know, how would they know whether it's a good idea to invest with someone like you, or how would they find someone like you? Like, what questions would they need to ask or know that it's going to be a good thing?
Well, like when my private investors come to me or they're interested, you know, I plant seeds. I really have a way of talking to people. I don't approach people, say, hey, I want to talk to you about loaning me money. Because as soon as you say that, they get in a boxing position. I just open the door to the topic of house flipping, and then they want to know how I do it, and I start to explain how I do it. And part of that explanation is how I raise the money and how the people that give me the money or loan me the money, how they're protected and why it makes sense to them. And then they plug themselves in. If it's for them, they'll let me know. You know, I don't have to ask them. When I show them what I'm doing, and it's particularly that one segment about how I treat my private lenders and why they've been with me for 10 and 15 and 20 years, they've been loaning me money. Then, you know, they kind of plug themselves in. I don't really have to ask them. If they want to consider loaning me money, they'll ask me. My job is just to present. And then the other thing is to always, you know, if I was a private lender, this is what I would do. Mm-hmm. And this is what I advise all private lenders is, one is be comfortable that your asset is worth what they're telling you it's worth, you know, independent appraisal or a professional broker that'll give you a professional opinion, maybe a friend that's in the real estate business that'll run the comps. Just make sure that this they'll never be exact, but you know, everyone's assessment varies a tad, but make sure you're well within the ballpark, like really close. And then get references. You know, if you have to, or you've still got this thing in your gut, then do a background check. You know, when I go with my private lenders, I say, look, I got a list of about 44 people that have been loaning me money, most of them for over a decade, some over a decade and a half, and a few over 20 years. They're not loaning me money because I haven't done what I said for all this time. And you can talk to them. I'll give you, you know, you can start with 10 or 15. If you want more, I'll give you more. But call them and talk to them and ask them why they've been with me. How long have you been with? Don't take anything I think, you know, I usually send out that list with a short description. This person's been with me 25 years. I they've loaned me a substantial amount of money in anybody's book, or they're new and they've started out small with me, but they've been with me for 8 months. You can call, you know, so they kind of know who they're talking to, but then don't assume that when they get on the phone, say, how long have you been with Mitch? Check out against what I said. I understand, you know, I wasn't told the amount, because I never tell people the amounts that people have with me, but they say, I understand you have a very substantial amount of money out with him. Is that true? And, you know, get verification, because if you're going to loan me or anybody money and then lay awake at night with a huge anxiety, it's not worth it. The stress is too much.
Yes.
You know, so get very comfortable. And I've even on some people that are, you know, a lot of people are very satisfied after they talk to my references. But even then, you want my driver's license, or you want me to have your private detective call me. I give him what he needs, and you do anything you want. I mean, I'm open book on this deal. I've been good for a long time. I would have people that have loaned me money over 20 years, but they died. You know, and I'm taking care of like seven widows right now. They're in their late 70s and early 80s. They can't handle any. They didn't know anything about the business the day we started 20 years ago, because I was dealing with the old man, you know, with the band. And now they're in the catbird seat, and they're having it, you know, front and center. But I know they don't know anything. It's up to me to just send them their check. And then when it's time to pay them off, to pay them off. And make it easy for them, because they're not equipped and they're too old to deal with it anyway. So not all my people are old anymore. I have a lot of youngsters who kind of want to set it and forget it, because they're like maybe 27 or 32, and they can't get to their IRAs till they're 59 and a half, you know, that doesn't mature.
Right.
So they just want, hey, let me give you a 15-year amortization and just send the payments to the IRA, and we're good, you know, so. And I think, you know, I offer my private lenders a choice, because there's different needs. People have different needs and different ideas about how long they're going to live or what they want to do. So I'm offering, you know, 8 to 10%. I always offer a first lien on the property that I buy.
Very important.
I always buy my properties with title insurance, you know, I'm not, you know, I got insurance to make sure that I am the owner, or we are the owners of this property. I never, one of my keys is, though, I've policed myself for over 24, 25 years. I don't borrow over 65% of what I'm going to sell this house for. If I want to buy it for 70%, then I got to put 5% of my money. I need my people to be very comfortable that even in the worst case scenario, they get my property, there's plenty of room. Now, I've never, in 2,000 plus deals, I've never given a property back ever. I've never been foreclosed on. I've never deeded a property back to someone because I couldn't make the payments. I never filed Chapter 13 or 7 or bankruptcy or anything. You know, knock on wood, and thank God. But a lot of it's not just, you know, divine intervention. A lot of it's because I don't put myself in a position to get smashed. You know what I mean? Every deal, and every deal stands on its own. So there's one borrower, there's one lender, and there's one piece of collateral generally. If I need to put up two pieces, then I do. But generally, it's 99.9% of the time, it's one property. I only average borrowing 58% of what I'm going to sell it for. So on a $100,000 house, I average borrowing $58,000. And that was over the last 300 houses I did. You know, I bought a house every 4 to 5 days for over two decades. and I've done almost all of it with private money. I am very bankable. I owe millions mm-hmm. to the bank too, and I'm very bankable. But there's a lot of difference in bank money and private money, you know?
Yeah.
Banks tell me how they want to do it, and I present the options to my private lender and kind of tailor it to them. Mm-hmm. So when things are very matured and all my notes are matured, I can go pledge my notes to a bank and I can get a 4.25% 15-year fixed no adjustment loan. But I'm more than willing to pay 8, 9, or 10% to a private lender for the speed and the ease of it, because banks do not move mm-hmm. fast. And in my business, we cannot get to these deals in slow motion, because usually there's some huge back pressure. And that's one of the things I caution people, that they say, well, I want to do one. I said, okay, so I don't want you to be alarmed, because when I need the money, I'll need it relatively quickly, because that's the nature of the business. It's the nature of mm-hmm. the beast. I'm getting these things at discounts because they're about to lose the house to the court system or to something, and they're not going to get anything. And they usually have their head in the sand till the last minute, and then they'll call me. And then I got like 3 or 4 or 5 days to do something. So don't be alarmed, because you know, one of the three signs of a con, mm-hmm. one is the deal's over the top for you, like way good. Now, I don't think 8 or 9% is in that category, but for a lot of people, that sounds pretty damn good, because CD rates now are 1% and you're offering 10, right. You know, that might seem over the top. It's not really, but, and then the second thing is they have an angelic facade. They'll say like they're a policeman or they're a pastor or something very angelic. So, and then the kicker that'll make you start looking for the con, the red flag that'll go up, is unreasonable time pressures. And that's why, you know, whenever I got a deal and someone's really putting unreasonable time pressures on me, I go back to say, do they match the other two requirements? Do they have an angelic facade? Is the deal way too good to be true? If all three of those things line up, I start to back up. So that's why I talk to my private lenders in advance and say, beware, I will need the money relatively quickly, but not so quick that you shouldn't have done your research on me. You should have all your doubts or questions about me answered in advance. And that's what I like to do. Right.
Well, I think that's key, because a lot of times people will focus on the deal, right? And when you look at a deal like performance or whatever else, like people, you know, a deal always sounds amazing, right? Like you're saying, sometimes even the deal has an angelic facade around it, right?
Yeah.
You know, but you're really emphasizing, I think, an important point that I stress on with my one-on-one clients, which is, it's not about the deal in and of itself, although that's important, but it's about who you're investing with. And when you get that relationship, then you kind of dive deep in that relationship. You kind of keep investing over and over, because you create that level of trust, you know, so you don't have to be diversified among 50 different, you know, investors. You could have 4 or 5 people max that you're investing all your money with, but you're just doing different deals with them, you know? And I think that's key. It's really about the investor, not just the investment.
Yeah, you know, you can paper up a deal all you want to. If you're dealing with a dishonest person, it's just trouble. You know, there's just, you know, it's not worth the anxiety to have to police someone so much. Find someone that's got a proven track record that you don't have to police, that's been around for a long time, has done it. And then you always start small. None of my investors walked up to me and said, well, today my reputation is big enough that a few people, they do the research and they just go, I'm in, here's $1 million. But not many. Most of them start out with as little as we can possibly find, you know, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000. They put their little toe in. And this is typically how it goes. They'll receive payments for about 3 months on time. And then they'll call me and go, can you do a little bit more? Can I do one more deal? What would I need? And I'll find them one. And then they'll receive 2 payments now for another 3 months. So they're 6 months in with me now. And then around month 6 or month 9, either on after the second deal with about 3 payments be coming in at least on each one, and then the third deal, they call and drop the mother load on me. Like, okay, I got $600,000 or $700,000, or I got $500,000. Now remember, no one sends me the amount in whole. Like if someone says they have $400,000 to get out, no one sends me $400,000. I send them one deal. I send them one deal at a time. Here's a deal on 123 Main Street. I have it valued at about, you know, $170,000. I need to borrow $80,000 in the first position. Here's the address. And we do it. We get that $400,000 out one deal at a time till we get close to the number. It might be a little less or it might be a little over. Sometimes I put in my money if it's just a little bit to compensate so we can hit exactly the number they want to get out. But
yeah,
you know, and every deal is backed up by collateral. You should have a, you know, you should be able to get on the Bexar County courthouse records or wherever the county is I'm in, you know, that I bought the house. Yeah. And see your lien, you know, within a week or so, it'll show up at the courthouse and you can get on the computer and you can see the private lender can see their lien on my house.
Yeah. That's great.
The other sign of a con is people, they'll bring these papers and they'll sign all these papers and they'll pledge a first lien and everything, but it never gets time stamped, notarized by the county clerk. You never, they, right. That's what a con does. He'll take the piece of papers, he'll get it all signed, he'll hand them to you, but they were never filed at the courthouse and the lien was never really registered. And then they go to the next town and they get a loan on the same house. And then they go to the next town and they get a loan on the same house. That's, you know, more than a handful of times, I would say a lot of times, I have had my private lenders watching American Greed, and there'll be a real estate scenario like this, and they'll they'll call me, and I've learned to recognize the tone in their voice. I've actually, like, they'll be asking me some questions. They seem a little skittish, and I go, have you been watching American Greed? And they go, yes. And I go, okay, just drop all the – just tell me what you're worried about. Let me help you get this anxiety off your chest. They go, well, is this a pyramid scheme or is this a scam? I said, no. The difference is go get your papers. Look at them. Do you see that colored ink on the side that has a time date stamp? They said, yeah. I said, you see the that embossed notarized signature with the embossed stamp at the bottom with the county clerk signature? Do you see that at the bottom? He said, yeah. That's what that guy wasn't giving you. You know, that's what that con man wasn't giving those people. And you have a true first lien. You can even, Mrs. Smith, you can even get on the computer right now and you'll see your lien. You know?
Yeah.
So that's the difference.
That's a huge difference. So, man, this has been awesome. This has been great advice. So if people want to be able to either follow you or learn more about your deals, how would they go about doing that?
Well, everything about me and the podcast and the blogs. And if, you know, if you're interested in education, I have all that at 1000houses.com. 1000houses.com. If you're interested in loaning private money and really being passive where you just get your checks at the end of the month, just email me at mitch@1000houses.com. Express that you're interested in having a conversation about loaning private money and we'll talk. Right. There's never any pressure. I'll answer all your questions. If you have a CPA or a lawyer that it's in your corner that's looking over your shoulder, bring them to the conversation. Let's get them involved right up front, because I don't want someone else trying to explain what I'm doing. Let me explain what I'm doing, because I know how it works and I know how to explain it. Let me explain that to your professional licensed CPA or your attorney and make sure that he understands exactly what I'm doing so that he can give his true opinion based on what I'm really doing. You know,
absolutely.
And I love it when they bring the lawyers and the because actually the lawyers and the CPAs, once they see how it's working with their client, they'll get me other private lenders, because they go, you know, this guy's the real deal. And I know some people that need, I know some, you know, a lot of CPAs know a lot of elderly people or retired people that they don't have enough money to live nearly comfortable at 1% and 2%. At 8 or 9 or 10%, they can actually start living more of a retired dream life, you know, or at least a reasonable life. At 1 or 2%, they're not even keeping up with inflation. And so these CPAs and attorneys know a lot of people like that. And once they do their research and they watch how I handle that one client that brought me to them, then they start to open up. So I actually love the fact that people bring their CPAs or their attorneys, because you know, when you're doing the right thing, it doesn't take long for the word to travel.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Oh, man, this is awesome. But yeah, definitely, Mitch, just great advice, great information. Like, I wish people, you guys really need to listen to this episode over and over just to get some of the key points, because a lot of the points he mentioned are the same things I teach my one-on-one clients to look for their own deals. So wise counsel. I really appreciate it, Mitch.
And while we're on the topic, if you're an active investor and you want to learn more about raising private money, like I said, I have 26 million on the streets. It didn't happen overnight, yeah. but I also have fine-tuned it because I have such a long list of experiences that mm-hmm. I started to tweak it. And I have a course called Private Money Changes Everything. It's mm-hmm. not a thick or bulky course. It's really about 6 or 7 steps that you need to get in sync with if you want to do it how I do it. And I always say make it your own, but you kind of stay within the parameters. And then but it's not thick or bulky, but it's very rich. It's like mm-hmm. every word counts and how you talk and the position that you take. One thing we never do, we don't beg for money. We are helping people. I've helped,
that's right,
a lot of elderly people live a much better life. I helped a lot of people that couldn't get out of the rent cycle own a home. I've helped a lot of neighborhoods that had a bunch of junky crack houses in them. My friends and I have converted neighborhoods into very decent neighborhoods now because of the work that we did. We get the property taxes on these houses back up where they belong. And consistently paying so that the school districts and the fire departments get money. The list of wins in this industry is long, like maybe 10 or 15 things I could rattle off. I won't do it here, but the secret to a good business and a good deal is that everyone involved has to win. They have to get what they need out of this deal, and they need to be protected in as much as you can protect them, all of them, whether it's the seller or the buyer or the whoever, the lender. It's all got to be square. And that's when you have a good business. And that's why I've been in business for 25 years. I keep it really square, and everyone knows. If you think good news travels fast when you're doing the right thing, just start screwing up. I say that bad news travels fast, but we all know a bunch of bad investors out there that were bad 10 years ago, and they're still doing it, and they're still bad now. So I don't know how that happens. I don't know how they don't get shut down. But some of the bad players seem to hang around a long time too. So just be careful, do your due diligence, get references and call them, get in touch with them. It's hard. If you're not a good person, it's not that hard to find out.
Right. I agree. Man, amen to that, Mitch. Appreciate it, man. Well, everybody, be sure to check out his website, 1000houses.com, if you want to hear more about Mitch, or if you want to get to know him or ask him some questions personally, shoot him an email, mitch@1000houses.com. So, Mitch, again, appreciate your time. It's been awesome.
Man, I appreciate you, Chris. Thanks so much.
You bet. Everybody, have a wonderful and prosperous week, and we'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.